This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at GeorgetownVisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I suppose besides the Bears in Green Bay today, this weekend, actually, there's something more important than that. It's actually the commemoration of the Supreme Court decision from 1973 that declared that it was a fundamental human and American right to kill babies, if that's what you wanted to do. Nine men decided about 27 years ago that 50 million baby deaths was part and parcel of what this country means. Now, there would be a huge demonstration of hundreds of thousands of people tomorrow in Washington, D.C. to protest this decision. And there'll be very little coverage, because I do think it's gotten to the point where everyone yawns when they think about pro-life issues. Oh yeah, this is what pro-life people and a few priests get excited about. Oh yeah, abortion. Well, I believe, sadly enough, that it has become such a part of our national fabric that even our politicians cannot imagine American life without it. Let me give an example. We all know that in Chicago there is an election coming up for mayor. It is truly a benighted field of candidates. I feel sorry for the citizens of Chicago, no matter who wins, because it won't be the citizens. But be that as it may, about a week ago I read something in the newspapers that about floored me. It seems that Carol Mosley Brown, one of the candidates, criticized another candidate, Rahm Emanuel, and said that he was, this is her quote, throwing women under the bus by not supporting abortion for women as strongly as she thought he should. Of course, he defended himself against the charge and told everyone loudly that he was just as much in favor of killing babies as Carol Mosley Brown was. In fact, he was all for it. And the newspapers reported all this, and we read all this, and what was going on is that we were being told that the new crime in America is to be against abortion. That the real fault, the real failing, is when one politician seems not to be as bloodthirsty as another. Wow. And of course, Carol Mosley Brown gives not a thought to the fact that more black people are killed in American abortion mills than die by any other means. And Rahm Emanuel makes no connection between all the Jews killed in the Nazi Holocaust and all the babies killed in abortions, and both only because some atheist politician thought that their lives were equally expendable. And I'm sure the other candidates are just as equally guilty. I do not hear of one who decries this as a terrible crime or even thinks it's a crime. What an awful bunch. The politicians who will tell poor, troubled, pregnant, and worried women that the solution to their difficulty is to kill their offspring. I cannot figure out how people, particularly Catholic politicians, have no problems with mothers and fathers disposing of their own children. Now, all I can imagine is that it's money driving all of this. The United States government gives hundreds of millions of dollars every year to Planned Parenthood. They couldn't give us more 2 cents, but they'll give hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, which is the Walmart of abortions in this country. It's the nation's largest abortionist, Planned Parenthood. And then they, in turn, give hundreds of millions of dollars to the politicians who take that money in return for supporting abortion. Now, you know and I know that if babies had money and if babies could vote, how many politicians would be fighting to save their lives instead of finding ways to keep their murders legal and plentiful? How sad that those who so often seek to serve us as politicians seek rather to serve themselves, and they use the piled up bodies of dead babies to climb to the top of the heap. King of the hill, what a hill. Well, you saw last week with that abortion doctor in Pennsylvania was accused of doing for years, in squalor and in filth, dismembering mothers and their children. He's charged with killing at least one mother and killing seven children born alive. And the politicians and the police and the media ignored it for years because they know they're not supposed to say anything about abortion or doctors who kill babies. Do they want Planned Parenthood on their doorstep? Do they want the media at their front door? My goodness. The right to abortion in this country has become more important than the right to life. And women and babies and our families all suffer because of this so-called right. It has contributed in immeasurable ways to the coarsening of life in America and our families. So what's my point? I know that none of us believe in these things, that as decent human beings and as good Catholics, we know right from wrong, especially on human life issues. But what we need to do, and this is why I'm saying all this, is that we need to keep ourselves sensitive on this issue. We need to stay neuralgic. We need to feel twinges of hurt and pain and horror every time one of our cities or our states or our nation's politicians tell us that abortion is a right and maybe sometimes a duty. It is very easy to become desensitized to abortion when we are relentlessly bombarded by those who form and inform our culture, the media, and their lapdog politicians, with the propaganda about how normal this kind of behavior is. See, what happens then is we begin to accept it as part of our country's moral fabric, part of our national landscape. We may not believe personally in the morality of abortion, but it doesn't affect us personally, so we feel we can ignore it. That's okay. That's what other people do. But that will lead us to the day when we, with the shrug of our shoulders, hear ourselves saying, well, you know, there are many issues, and maybe even some more important than abortion. There may be equal issues, but no more important than the taking of innocent human life. But when we say that, that's when we know they've gotten us. That our moral sensitivities have been dulled enough so that we no longer feel horror when we think about what we have allowed. That's the day when we just decide to go along with it all. That's the day that our hearts have turned to stone. And who knows what more horrors we will begin to accept, in which the politicians will try to get away with. So how do we stay sensitive? How do we prevent our hearts from turning to stone? First of all, by not using euphemisms and saying exactly what is what is. Sometimes a word can be so used so often that we begin to lose its deeper meaning. Even a word like abortion becomes clinical, becomes medical, something the doctors are allowed to perform. But call it the killing of unborn babies, and you cannot hide from the reality of it all. Secondly, we need to be bold, maybe bolder, in our defense of life. If it is the unjust taking of an innocent person's life, then we should never hesitate to say so. We need to act as if it were. I think of the protesters this weekend, and I wonder what would happen if instead of following the route that they gave to the city, they decided to turn down this street instead of that street and create the biggest traffic jam Washington, D.C. ever saw. Well, if they did that, they would be saying to the media and to the country that they are pained enough by abortion to risk even arrest. Boy, that'll get their coverage then. As well, the Catholic bishops. They can keep us fresh and sensitive on this issue as well, precisely because they are bishops, leaders. They can do immensely more to keep us alive to the issue, and even more than some poor priest speaking from the pulpit. Do you remember a couple of years ago when now Cardinal Burke was Bishop of La Crosse, Wisconsin, and he told all the pro-abortion politicians in his diocese they were not to receive Holy Communion until they publicly recanted their anti-life positions? With that one statement, Bishop Burke created such a firestorm of discussion and argument all over the world, even in Rome. New categories of thought, new questions that everyone, all the bishops, all the priests, and all the people were talking about it and beginning to rethink and reconsider their positions about what we mean to say when we say we're against abortion. And lastly, perhaps the best way to stay aware of what is going on in regards to human life in order that we may protect life from those who would take it is to stay fascinated with the beauty of life, and particularly human life, and particularly as we see it in a child. To see God Himself in a chubby little face with big eyes. To look at a baby's fingers and see that baby's future and wondering what those fingers will hold. To delight in everything that the child delights in. To be sad if that little child should ever be sad. To place ourselves within that child as if we were that child. To be able to see what they see and to love what they love and to fear what they fear. If we can do that, there will never come a time when we'll just accept death for a little baby. Oh, that's what somebody else does. Because we'll know that that baby is us and just as sacred. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.